Hello again. Welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and with me tonight is...
Hi, I'm Doug. Just Doug. Doug Bromley, let's call me.
This is F This Movie, the podcast about movies and effing. Mutually exclusive.
In that order, or...
Not necessarily.
So effing can come after movies.
Sometimes.
This just got interesting.
If a movie's really sexy, like Original Sin, did you ever see that movie?
I did, with you.
Sexy. And then we effed. That's one of my top four nights.
In all seriousness, Femme Fatale was good.
Yes.
That was a good sexy movie.
That was a hot movie.
Also, We Were Soldiers.
No, it was hot when they went around and delivered the letters about the dead soldiers, or when the...
I like when the North Vietnamese colonel took off the American flag and then replanted it because he had so much respect for the people that were invading his
country. Because they awoke a sleeping giant.
They did.
And I like when the one guy's arm melted off and Barry Pepper took pictures of it in slow-mo.
I like when the giant bug came out and melted the guy's arm off.
Me too.
And then Barry Pepper shot the guy from the bell tower.
Okay, well, it started as a brilliant segue into the movie we're effing tonight.
What?
Starship Troopers. Paul Verhoeven, come on.
Oh, Paul Verhoeven, director of Starship Troopers, but also director of...
Basic Instinct.
A drum roll, please.
That's right. Before we get to tonight's movie, sometimes I like to give the email address for the podcast for people that like to...
You've got a whole, agenda?
Send in... Yes.
You've got a syllabus?
I'm very organized.
All right.
So people send emails and they say, hey, would you mind effing this movie?
Have people sent you emails?
Like twice. Three All times.
Right. Three times.
Or four, maybe even.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the fourth? Please stop effing this movie. Your podcast is horrible. I wrote that, actually.
We got one about when you and I talked about Avatar, and we talked about, what's a movie that you've come around on.
Oh, yeah.
We got an email about somebody came around on Love Actually. We talked about it on another show, but you don't listen to this show unless you're on it.
If I'm on it, I'll listen to it.
anyway, the email is, if you want to email us.
Someone came around on Love Actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no ill feelings towards Love Actually. It is what it is. But
That's kind of how I felt. I felt the same way the first time I saw it as I do now, I think.
Yeah, I remember being charmed by parts of it, and then other parts of it just being kind of like, well, that part's over.
The email address is fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Email us. Tell us a movie to F.
You couldn't just get fthismovie@gmail.com?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
We should probably email... Guys, do me a solid, if you're listening. Email fthismovie@gmail.com and then send us the response. They're like, stop emailing me, you a-holes, blah, blah, blah.
And leave me alone.
And then I'll read
this
that on my own podcast.
This is my grandmother's email account. Her name is... Francine...
Thelonious... Movieski. You know, I want to read the responses... When you write fthismovie@gmail.com, thinking it's fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com, I'm going to read the responses on my podcast, fthismoviepodcast. The podcast about F This Movie Podcast. It's a very meta thing. It's a 30,000-foot thing.
I don't even get that reference.
I don't either. It's a paradigm. I'm thinking outside the box.
Oh. Exactly. Paradigm, like chaos theory? Dr. Ian Malcolm?
It's like string. Oh, chaos theory, like the water on your hand that drips down into your other knuckle.
Yes, when you seduce Laura Dern.
when you seduce the saucer, man.
Have you seen any movies lately?
Have
you watched any movies at home lately?
Oh, right. I forgot about this segment.
Yeah, we do this sometimes at the beginning.
What have you seen lately? Let me think about what I've seen
lately. I saw Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
I like the second part of that title.
Because
I like sand and I like time.
And it was one of the best movies I've seen about time sand this year. My favorite, of course, being Time Sand. But Prince of Persia,
that's
the
a Spike
sands
Lee joint,
time.
No?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
40 Acres and a Mule production. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, I did not see anything in the theater.
No.
But I did catch a lot of Band of Brothers on Spike. Because it was just
How many times would you say you've seen Band of Brothers?
I have seen Band of Brothers more than my hands. More than 10 times.
Okay.
Maybe 12 times.
Okay.
So no, you know what? I take it back. I take it back.
You have all your fingers.
I do. I do have all my fingers. No, I... Okay, so yesterday was Memorial Day. A day to honor our soldiers who fight... And continue to fight and fought valiantly on our behalf.
I watched Hamburger Hill. And then I watched Ghost Brigade.
Is that the second time Ghost Brigade's been talked about?
It totally okay. is.
So I love Band of Brothers. I saw some on Spike TV. I was going between that and the Black Hawks game, although I don't really care about hockey. I do, I guess, because I like to see winners.
Yeah.
But I just am like, oh, they iced something. And then I drank an ice house, and then it was 1980.
I was going to say, they still make ice house?
I think they do, but they don't make Red Wolf anymore. I know that for sure. Red Dog. I miss the Red
beers. Red beer was very popular for a short time.
Absolutely. Anyway, what are we talking about? I have not seen anything.
We were talking about, if you've watched any movies lately, but I forget you don't really watch movies.
So. I don't. I think movies are kind of stupid.
They are. They're a waste of time.
Exactly.
When you could be out at bars.
Oh, I love bars.
Me too.
Not only do I love going to bars, I love to bar hop. I love to go on bar crawls.
What movie are we effing tonight?
Actually, I did see a movie recently because I watched this movie again in preparation for tonight. And that movie is Paul Verhoeven's very own Patrick.
Hollow Man?
Hollow Man. That has some nudity in it.
Yeah.
It has Mina, what's her name?
Rona Mitra.
Yeah. Thank you.
She gets raped by the Invisible Man.
Oh, it's hot. I love, too, in that movie where...
I don't know, love anything about that movie.
No, it's you'll love this part. All where right. she gets... This woman gets raped by Kevin Bacon, who's going insane.
Yeah.
We only turn on him after he kills a dog. It's like, what happened? But the rape was pretty violent. Look, and pretty horrible, too.
He was invisible, but horny. We get it.
I can't blame him.
But what's with the dog, dude?
I know. That dog does not make me horny anymore.
Hollow Man is, I would say, the only boring movie that Paul Verhoeven has ever made.
Boring?
Yeah. It's boring. It doesn't work in either of the two ways which his movies work.
Which are?
Well, maybe we'll get back to that. Tonight we're talking about Showgirls. From 1995?
Are we being serious right now, right?
Yeah, we're actually talking about Showgirls.
We're not, I mean, because you said you've already named like Hamburger Hill, Ghost Brigade, Starship Troopers, Basic Instinct. Is this what we're really talking
about? We're actually talking about Showgirls.
Okay, good. Because I love Showgirls. I'll put this out there. Showgirls is great, and if you don't like Showgirls, you are stupid in the head.
I kind of don't like Showgirls.
Showgirls is bad. Did I say it was great? I think whoever likes it is stupid in the head. No, Showgirls is great. Showgirls is the dumbest. It's
not boring.
It's one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen in my life, and I love it. And it's endlessly quotable. It is endlessly watchable. And it's great. What else is there to say about it? And I think that's the end of the podcast. It's endlessly quotable and watchable.
This is our best work today.
I think so.
Our best work today. It's funny that you mentioned Showgirls is endlessly quotable.
Did I say that? I meant it's endlessly quotable.
It's endfully quotable.
You can at one point end quoting it, I think.
About 12 years ago.
12 years ago? How old is this movie?
Well,
this movie's just said 1995. Yeah. I know.
About 12 years ago, I had my appendix removed, and I was laid up for several days.
One of your many hospital stays. And
I was putting together a fun book of stuff for my now wife. Mm. And one of the things I put together...
That's funny, because my book that I made for her at that time, not so fun.
No.
It's really just like angry and like violent cartoons.
More of a manifesto, really. It is.
Well, it's have you heard about my theories on love?
I put together a list of the 20 best lines of dialogue from Showgirls. Okay. And maybe from time to time throughout the podcast, I'll read a few of them.
Why don't you get us started with the number 20?
Sure. They're not really in like a...
Can you please order them? Can you rank order them? Starting with 15.
Okay. Okay. Number 20.
Number 20.
Number 20 is fucker, fuck off. Which is what she says to that musician dude when she kicks the shit out of him.
That's so great.
Number 19, you've got low self-esteem, baby. You're a fantastic fuck. Number 18.
That's Kyle.
Kyle McLaughlin. Number 18, I liked it when you came. I liked your eyes.
That's, I actually still use that line in my personal life.
Number 17, perhaps the most sentimental line in the movie. Must be weird not having anybody come on you.
By the way, we're talking about Showgirls. Showgirls. The... famous, you know, now infamous career-ending movie. Is it, a movie?
It's a movie.
It's more of a way of life. It's really, I can't even, like, I feel like we're biting off a big chunk here. And I think that hopefully it's interesting to listen to because I loved, not even the movie so much, although I do think the movie is really fun and silly. But there's so much history, specifically between you and I, Patrick. Yeah. Or you and
take
me.
Take us back to 1995.
I'll take you back to 1995, and it's serendipitous how this all worked out. But just picture, if you will, Bill Clinton's in office.
Sure.
The dollar is at an all-time high. The euro doesn't exist yet. America is
in love with the sweetly retarded man named Forrest Gump.
There's no oil gushing into the Gulf of Mexico. There's no cloud of ash covering half of Europe. It was a better time. It was a time when I was a senior in high school.
I was a senior
in high school, and you were a freshman in college.
Yo.
And it just so happened, like I said, serendipitously, that I turned 17 in October of 1995. I'm so used to saying 2000, yeah. I almost made a mistake.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, this movie comes out. This Paul Verhoeven, Joe Esterhaus penned movie comes out that they specifically made this NC-17 movie. And lo and behold, I think it came out about 2 weeks before.
Came out the day before.
The day before.
Your birthday was on the 7th. Showgirls came out on easy. The 6th.
Why don't you tell my social security number next?
No problem. Can I have your social security card?
God damn it.
Showgirls, I believe, came out on October 6th.
Okay, so Showgirls and comes out.
My birthday was the next.
And again, it was this perfect storm, this colliding of everything that needs to happen. I turned 17. Showgirls, the only NC-17 movie that ever got this big a release.
Well, this was the movie that was going to legitimize NC-17.
And it should have. This was I don't see why it
make
didn't.
It a viable rating. This is a movie for adults.
Yeah.
And it's going to prove
it is actually not at all. Oh, it is a movie God. For
it is the opposite of a movie for adults. But this was the movie.
It is a movie for dead children.
Paul Verhoeven's big push. That's the opposite of a living adult, isn't it? Paul Verhoeven's big push was that it was going to legitimize the NC-17 rating.
I do love that they are very gung ho and gangbusters about making this movie.
Well, that's the only thing that makes the movie.
Right, absolutely.
What it is.
So what happens is, okay, so I turn 17. I am so excited for, I mean, one reason, the main reason, aside from it being NC-17 and about this, like, very sleazy side of Las Vegas, which I'm not even convinced exists.
I've never been to Las Vegas, but I have some questions about Las Vegas.
I mean, I know that there's, like, obviously very seedy and seamy sides to any, you know, sort of industry, especially industries that cater to adults. But there are,
like, full topless... like reviews that
there are
grown-ups go to, and then the stars of them are so famous that they get their own billboards on the side of the
highway. Well, there's a lot, and again, like, I've only been there a couple times, and even like when I was there, I was not going to see these like Follies Brew. What was it called? I don't even know the name of the famous, like, there's a really famous topless review. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
But the fact is, okay, so it's NC-17. It shows the seamy underbelly of whatever. And again, anytime you show this, like, adult industry and talk about, you know, like, focus on something, and your goal is to make, you know, to talk about the negative side of it, I suppose, it's going to lend towards fiction. I don't know. But the most interesting thing for us, I think, is that it stars Elizabeth Berkley,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Spano from
mm-hmm.
Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I know... Patrick, you can speak to how big a fan you were of Saved by the Bell. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm not saying, like, we all watched it, obviously. Every one of us who is the same between 25 and 35, I know, has watched Saved by the Bell because it's ubiquitous on TV. It was on NBC on Saturday mornings. You couldn't not watch it, kind of like the Brady Bunch on repeats almost. And even then it was repeated after school, I think. That's even where younger people probably saw it, like, after school.
Right. That didn't happen until later.
Right. But we're watching... Jesse Spano, who is a distant second to Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
However, it's still one of the primary cast members from Saved by the Bell going full top, naked, nude, everything.
We saw the full Spano.
The full Spano.
We got full Spano.
Tell me how big a fan you were of.
I was a big Saved by the Bell fan. I knew lines of dialogue and obscure.
This isn't just a casual thing.
No, and I mean, I still love Saved by the Bell, and it's not even like. It's not an ironic thing necessarily, where it's like, I love it so I can feel superior to it. Like, I genuinely enjoy watching it, unlike Showgirls, which can really only be enjoyed ironically, I would say. but no, I genuinely liked Saved by the Bell. I knew it was bad, but I didn't like it because it was bad. I liked it in spite of its badness.
I'm going to totally reference another personal story. You were sick? No, were you sick? I'm bought always you
sick, dude.
I bought you a game, a Saved by the Bell board game.
Yeah.
I forgot why. It was on clearance at Toys R Us, and I bought him. I found this, like, Saved by the Bell board game. It wasn't a special occasion. It wasn't like it was his birthday
You're just a friend.
I am. I'm just a generous person.
Yeah.
I bought this for you, and we went through. We didn't even play the game. We just went through all the trivia cards because it was a trivia-based game. And Patrick, I swear to God, got every question right, including, and these things stick out in my head, What does the AC and AC Slater stand for?
Albert Clifford.
What does he tell the girls it stands for?
Absolutely Charmed.
That's right. Those are two questions that I had no idea. I don't know. And again, we're not seeing Mario Lopez's. We're not seeing Mario Lopez's penis in this movie. We're seeing Jesse Spano's boobs and butt. And and it's crazy because, again, I mean, 17, 18 years old, it's like we have full license to see this.
Yeah.
And so what happens was it comes out the day before my birthday. I am very excited. I think I even told like my parents, like, because they can't stop me. I'm going to, you know, go see this movie and whatever else. We get to the Sony Rolling Meadows, which is now closed, right by Waccamaw Pottery, right in Algonquin Mills. I ask for one. I think I went first.
I don't remember.
It matters. And I said, one for showgirls, please. And I was prepared. I had my new license, or not my new license, but my license, which obviously showed my birthday, being that the day it was on my birthday we went. The girl, who must have been like early 20s, took my money, printed a ticket, gave it to me, said nothing, didn't ask for my ID, didn't ask for anything. It was a big anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I felt like deflated almost.
Right. Well, because then it was like, so now we still have to go see this movie. Right? I thought the whole point was for that moment.
It was definitely this event, you know, like where I want to be
for us, not for anyone.
The pretense of like, I'm here. It's naughty that I'm here. It is bad that I'm here. And it wasn't. It was just like, oh, I didn't realize this NC-17 is not a big deal, although it definitely is. But just so that's the hilarious backstory to my love of showgirls. And then, of course, we saw it in the theater. And back then, obviously, it wasn't like you can just, you know, watch this on Netflix a couple months later and or buy it. I think it came out on Laserdisc, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure did, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
I bought Showgirls on Laserdisc.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
I think I made you watch a couple scenes.
And then you got it. And Doug and I were together in Tower Records, and Doug wanted to buy Showgirls on DVD.
No, this is before I had my DVD. I think I made you, didn't I, buy it for yourself first?
No, I bought it for you before I bought it for me on DVD. You had your DVD player, and you wanted Showgirls, but you didn't want to go pay for it at Tower Records, so I said, give it to me, I'll go buy it.
You definitely bought Showgirls for me on DVD, which is the copy I watched in 2010.
Yeah, the non-anamorphic French subtitled.
It was hard. I got to put the zoom on.
It's been released two or three times on DVD subsequently.
Right.
They keep repackaging it as this, like, campy, funny, it comes with like tassels and shot glasses and a commentary from a guy who just like goofs on it the whole time, and now it's this funny event.
Right. But that's the reason they showed on like VH1, I think, too. And
it's been recontextualized as like this camp classic, like this Rocky Horror type event. But when we saw it in 1995, it was totally serious.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was definitely trying to be this huge, you know, almost a, you know, award season caliber film.
Right.
And man, is it fail on every single level.
I don't even know where to start. Like, Paul Verhoeven, here's the thing. He is an awesome director. He has made, in a 10-year span, he made three of the best science fiction movies I think ever made.
He made RoboCop. Oh, yeah.
He made Total Recall, and he made Starship Troopers.
He also made Turtle Recall, which is what I think I just said.
I think all three of those movies are fucking awesome. And so much of what makes them awesome is so much of what makes his other two movies of the decade horrible. And those movies are Basic Instinct and Showgirls.
Yeah.
And it's this tendency he has towards over-exaggeration to the point, you know, in science fiction it becomes comedy. It's satire. But in these sort of erotic thrillers or what, I don't even know what you call Showgirls. I mean, I think they try to call it a musical.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Dance numbers.
They call it like a musical.
And it's essentially just like All About Eve or A Star Is Born, one of those two, right?
Yeah.
I don't watch black and white movies, so I don't know. I only watch movies with former cast members of Saved by the Bell. So here are the movies I've seen. Dead Man on Campus, Showgirls, Son-in-Law, and How High, because Lark Voorhees is in How High. Oh, and Dustin Diamond shows up in Big Top Pee Wee, maybe? He's really young.
Okay, I was going to say, he must have been like a kid, because that's 80s.
I might have that wrong. Maybe it's like She's Out of Control. I don't know.
So it's a musical. You were talking about the story, the thriller, Basic Instinct.
Yeah, just...
By the way, I've actually never seen Basic Instinct. I think when it came out, my parents actually were good parents, and they rented it And then they made us watch Disorderlies in the other room.
Yeah, great parents.
Or if it was Short Circuit 2. I'm trying to think. My memory's a little fuzzy. I saw
Short Circuit 2 in the theater.
Nice. But I've never seen Basic Instinct, but Showgirls fails. But you're right. RoboCop, which I haven't seen in years, but Starship Troopers, so actually, good. We could definitely do a F this movie on Starship Troopers, although it would just be a love fest because we both are very much in love with that movie.
Yeah.
And Total Recall, I have to see again. I remember thinking, like, wow, that's awesome. I still don't think I get it. And I know that sounds really dumb, but, like, there's a, like, it's a dream. It's not a dream. I don't know. But it's, I will say Starship Troopers and Showgirls are very similar in a lot
they
of
are,
ways.
Yeah.
In how serious the movie's made.
Right.
In how serious the actors take themselves.
Right.
In, you know.
And the casting that works so well in Starship Troopers backfires horribly in Showgirls.
I'm watching, like, Casper Van Dien. And what's her name? Denise Richards. And a couple other, I can't think of the other girls.
Patrick Muldoon. Saved by the Bell.
There you go.
He's in Starship Troopers. I can watch that movie. He fucking stole Kowalski away from Zach Morris.
They are so invested in their parts. They think they are acting, they're acting so hard. It's so, and Doogie Howser, by the way, is in that too. Yeah. And he's great. Actually, he is one of the saving graces. I mean, not saving grace, because obviously Starship Troopers doesn't need saving, but he is actually gives a pretty okay performance.
Yeah, and he was one of those, when you saw it in 1997, like, he was sort of one of those ironic clues that, like, oh, they know what they're doing.
Well, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
No one else, well, whatever.
But when he shows up in the SS uniform, you're like, okay, this movie knows exactly what it is.
Well, it's also based on, like, better source material than just Joe Esterhaus's, like, wet dreams. I mean, Starship Troopers is a book about, I think it was, like, from the 50s about, you know.
But the book is totally straightforward
Cold
and serious.
War. You're absolutely right. It's Cold War, Nazism, all this different stuff that's happening. And Showgirls is Joe Esterhaus, who wrote Basic Instinct. He also wrote, what else did he write?
I can only think of, like, Jade.
Okay.
He might have written Flashdance. Like, he's been around forever. He's just a big, like,
chain smoking, dirty,
whiskey smelling, giant, fat Hungarian.
He's like a very straight Bruce Valanche. That's what I picture.
Yeah, I think that's right on.
So I read this little. I was actually reading, because I've seen Showgirls a bunch of times, and I can kind of watch it casually. I was reading the book jacket, and it was. You're right. They talk about it as a musical. And they discuss Paul Verhoeven and Joe Esterhaus talk about their research and they're going to Vegas and wanting to make this Vegas movie, and they're kind of failing because they're not finding the angle. And then they go to, like, one of the seedier places, and then they find it. They find this, like, success story.
So,
the girl.
But what's the angle?
I don't know. The seedy underbelly, like I said, is just completely, completely ridiculous. And you're
right. Even the strip club doesn't seem at all like a real strip club.
No, you're absolutely. I like at one point there's a guy. There's like an overweight. Like, madam, who is, like, the MC, but
she's like a vaudeville comedian.
She is definitely, like,
you see at every strip club.
She's a comedian,
the
and
vaudeville
she
MC.
Is very dirty and tells dirty jokes, but the jokes aren't funny. And then she shows her boobs, and it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
And at one point, she shows her boobs, and a guy stands up because they're watching, like, theater almost, and he says, "Hey, why don't you pull your dress up?" And everyone's watching him, and she responds, and it's just like they've never had a human experience in their life. Because this, I mean, again, like, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad what's going on, but it's not anything that's real that I could even accept.
Let me give my impression of watch. It's been a while since I've seen Showgirls, but I'm gonna do my impression of.
Didn't you watch it before, in preparation for this?
Yeah, I watched it
today. Okay, good.
But here's my impression of me watching it today. Ready?
Okay.
This is about 4 minutes into the movie. Okay, here it goes. What? Wait, what? What? What the fuck? That's it. It's that for 2 hours. Just me going, what? They're monkeys? There's a monkey putting on lipstick?
There absolutely is. I mean, that scene, by the way, is such a, it's like a little, like, I got to think the second unit shot, this, like, some extra monkey footage, and they thought found it so endearing, and or they must have paid $1 billion to these monkeys, and they had to get so much monkey on film.
I really think it's Paul Verhoeven, just, like, he does this thing where he tries to keep
Dutch.
It's, like, the energy always has to be up, 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 because he's trying to show, like, the frantic pace of backstage Vegas glamour. And part of that frantic pace, like, it's showbiz, so there's a guy with monkeys.
Right.
Like, because that's showbiz.
It reminds me of, like, the Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he goes on the back lot of, Warner Brothers. And it's, they're shooting a Japanese Godzilla movie.
Nomi Malone should have ended up on the hood of Twisted Sister's car.
Yes.
Singing Burn in Hell.
You're gonna burn in
hell. The best thing/worst thing about Showgirls, and the part that actually makes me kind of sad is the lead performance by Elizabeth Berkley.
Okay, go on.
Because it, in so many ways, parallels the journey that the character takes in the movie, that she thinks that this is her big break, and she's okay. going to be a big star, but actually she's just being used by, like, dirty old men.
Yes.
And it's over for her. Like, it lasts 10 seconds, and it's over. Right. And that is Elizabeth Berkley's movie career.
Although she wasn't... I mean, she's made some appearances.
She's been thrown a few bones ever since.
Any Given Sunday,
where she gets naked.
Right, because that's
First
like,
Wives Club, she pops up in.
Because now she is, like, she's ruined. I mean,
right,
she, well,
right.
It's true.
You can't star in Showgirls and recover, I don't think.
During the last podcast, I talked briefly about Christina Applegate. I meant, not my last podcast. I know Patrick does podcasts. He's like a whore with podcasts.
Yeah.
He does them with everyone.
One a day.
I talked about...
I'm doing a different one right now.
We
so anyway.
Watched Anchorman.
That's what I really think.
Patrick, focus on this podcast.
Hollywood Homicide. What? Showgirls. Sorry, Showgirls.
What was the other podcast?
Hollywood Homicide.
What is that?
The movie with Harrison Ford and Josh Hartnett.
Oh my god. Anyway, so the last podcast I was on, we talked about Anchorman. I mentioned how Christina Applegate. I took away from it the first time I watched it. I kind of took away from it that she might not be the best actress, and I felt bad saying that because I'm saying she's obviously, you know, very employable, attractive woman who's gone through a lot of personal struggles, and it's not fair to talk about a person's acting. Maybe I don't want to be that dick critic who, or I'm not a critic at all, but I don't want to be that dick out there who's kind of like, oh, they can't act, they suck, because obviously I'm insulated and blah blah blah. But I really think that Elizabeth Berkley. That being said, she. I don't know if it's like, because I really do think that a director's job, I know there's directors obviously have different jobs. Some directors are more cinematographers, and some directors like David Mamet are very much focused on performances and acting. And I do think that the director's job, it seems like Paul Verhoeven might be more involved, might be more of the James Cameron kind of like technical, geeky director,
yeah.
as opposed to kind of getting in there with his actors and finding motivation, finding reasons for them to say things, understanding the character, because I don't think this character is bipolar. She's over all over the map. She's, I mean, borderline, you know, special needs.
She's crazy. Yes. She's crazy. And it's, she's the, again, the best thing about the movie. And I don't mean that in a good way. I do mean that ironically, because every movement she makes is the wrong choice.
There's, I think the first scene, because as you said, you're watching, you're going, what?
Yeah.
One of the first scenes is she gets picked up by this guy. She's
right.
hitchhiking. The guy tries to make, doesn't even really make a move on her, but she pulls out a switchblade, and everything she does is so demonstrative.
Right.
And then that kind of carries on through later scenes where she, like, someone grabs her arm and she rips away so violently that I think that if there was, like, a baby there, the baby would have, a concave head. Or that she, like, is eating food paid for
yes,
by a stranger.
When the nice lady takes her and gets her some food and she's slamming, throwing
and she
french
throws,
fries around.
It explodes in this, like...
She's throwing food around.
I mean, she just has
the
no...
The scene where she dances in the nightclub where she finally, like, lets loose. This isn't, like, her dancing on stage or whatever. She goes to the nightclub.
Yes.
And she starts dancing with, like, Glenn Plummer for the first time.
Yeah.
Again, they've never even been to a nightclub because
no,
anyone doing that would be arrested or hospitalized.
Right.
It's fascinating. But you know that Paul Verhoeven is constantly egging her on, saying, you know,
more.
Right.
Right.
He's Count Chocula.
More. Please do more. You know, I want to say real quick, I think that the Showgirls is summed up really well. Not summed up really well, but it's kind of like, you know,
with
this journey. You know the journey you're in for. One of the first lines, okay, we're not going to talk about the whole plot, but she gets picked up as a hitchhiker. She gets taken to Vegas. The guy steals her bags. Spoiler alert for this second scene. when she's in the casino, she's playing the slot machines, and one guy is like, losing all your money, honey? Like, I know a way you can make a lot of money. Like, really on the nose, and kind of like, and I, again, like, maybe I'm very Midwestern, innocent Doug. I don't know. I'm sure there's some douchebag sleazeballs out there who actually would say something like that to a girl, especially a girl who is not wearing a bra and unbuttoning her shirt to her belly button. But the next line, she storms away in a huff. And
as
line,
she often does in the movie.
And the next line he says
she's
is...
in a constant state of huff.
He shouts to her across the room, sooner or later you're going to have to sell it.
And it's so... It's foreshadowing.
That's
what the movie's
like, sooner
about.
Or
will
later...
you sell it or not? And by the way, they don't just mean your body. They're talking about your fucking soul, dude. Will you sell your soul? And Nomi Malone does not. Spoiler. Gina Gershon is also in the movie as Crystal, the star of the topless review.
Crystal Connors?
Crystal Connors, thank you. Gina Gershon's career has recovered.
Has it? I mean, yeah. I don't know what she's really been in.
She pops up in a lot of stuff, and some of her best stuff, like Bound.
Yeah, it was before Showgirls. Oh, was it?
Yeah, came after Showgirls.
I do love Bound.
Yeah, Bound is great.
Made by the Wachowski siblings.
She has claimed, subsequently, that she knew what kind of movie she was in. Or at least she knew what kind of movie it was going to be. That she signed on thinking it was one thing, realized it was another, and said, okay, the only way I'm going to get through this is if I play it fully campy and, like, to someday have drag queens showing up to showings of showgirls dressed as me. I might believe her.
Absolutely not.
Oh, see, I might. I think...
Well, I read something, too. I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
I read something, too.
I'm trying to figure out who knows what they're in.
When she...
I think Kyle MacLachlan might, and I think Gershon might.
I think that Kyle MacLachlan probably definitely does, because I think that his...
He's just taking a paycheck, right?
I absolutely think so. And I think that, obviously, his kind of resume dictates or indicates that he, working with,
David Lynch.
David Lynch, thank you. On lots of different movies and you know, doing... risky things, doing different things, doing oddball things, you know, but also doing mainstream things. Like, he is just taking a paycheck, and maybe he knows what he's doing because I've seen him act really, really well, and this, he's not really trying, and he's just being himself. Right.
He doesn't necessarily, like, tip the fact that he knows he's in a piece of shit.
But I read something that Gina Gershon, I remember very vividly, and I, of course, don't have any source material right here with me, but I remember something after the movie came out that she was almost, like, really offended and hurt because... she had claimed that, like, that was not what she had signed up for.
Oh, okay.
Because I read, and I swear to God, I read this somewhere.
Well, I would not be surprised if she kind of changed her tune, because a lot of people affiliated with the movie, including, I think, even Joe Esterhaas, has said, like...
It's always, all along, had meant to be this thing.
Kind of funny.
That it became this mutation of what, you know...
That they weren't trying to do something serious.
But I read something that said, like, she obviously signed up thinking it was one thing. She went through the whole thing, and then she saw the cut and was, like, mortified. And it did kind of really damage, well, everyone's career, but hers also. Yeah. She, I think, kind of fashioned herself as a very legit, serious actress. Now, she didn't have to break in. She was established enough, you know. And I think it's interesting because you're right. I think a lot of them have come around and said, you know, this is complete. It's always been kind of tongue-in-cheek and camp in a way that Starship Troopers more so was. You know, I mean, you can accept it as that. It definitely is that. But don't lie to yourself and say that was what it was all the entire time.
Right. I don't, even watching it now. I mean, it's the only level on which you can actually enjoy the movie. But I don't, even watching it now, I don't get that's what they were going for.
Right.
And I think even if that is what they were going for, if you can't get that from, like, one viewing, they have failed as filmmakers. Right. Joseph Kahn, who directed Torque, which is a terrible movie, is all over the place now saying, like, no, it was supposed to be retarded, and it was making fun of these Fast and the Furious movies. It's like, but if people in the audience don't get that, I'm not a dumb viewer, right?
Right.
I didn't get that.
I'm a dumb viewer. This is why our dynamic works so well on the podcasting.
I didn't get that watching Torque, so I feel like either Joseph Kahn is lying, or he failed as a filmmaker.
Right. Well, that's you said before, like, Showgirls does work as camp, but if it was only supposed to be camp, it fails almost. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you...
Are you going to pull out another
quote? Do you perceive
quote
for lines us? Like this as campy?
Patrick is pulling out some more.
She looks better than a 10-inch dick, and you know it. This is during the sentimental scene where the strip club madam and owner come visit their star stripper who broke out and is in the topless Vegas show.
By the way, not
a
even
thing
the
that happens.
Not even the star yet, just like a dancer
in the background.
A showgirl, I guess.
But they come and see her. They see her for 2 minutes on stage and they leave. It's sentimental. I don't know what the point of that scene is. If it happens again to anybody, you're going to jump to your conclusion.
I don't even remember that line. That line, by the way, is
Kyle MacLachlan yelling at "It's an angry planet, a bug planet." After that whole, where he tries to, like, sell her into prostitution with and she's all like, "Not me." And then you find out later she used to be a prostitute. She has a dark past. I think that's what we eventually find out, is that Nomi Malone has a dark past, and that's what drives her
Polly,
all of her hungers. She's a hungry character. She's constantly shoving hamburgers in her face and flipping channels furiously on the TV.
Oh my God. I have never seen a person act so hard to change channels.
But that's
the thing.
It's like, and that's what makes Showgirls so watchable. It's not what's happening, because what's happening sucks ass. What makes it watchable is picturing the conversations about what they were trying to achieve with all of these decisions. That's what is fascinating to me about Showgirls.
That is, you're absolutely right. But I still think Showgirls is watchable on a different level, and that's the level that my boner watches it on. And that's the level that I've seen. I've seen Showgirls all the way through maybe 3 or 4 times. I've seen parts of Showgirls maybe 24 times.
Which parts?
I've seen the parts.
We should probably talk about those parts.
Real quick, I will say that, like, it is – because – you know, when Showgirls is on TV, or if I put it on, like, oftentimes I will, like, have the intention of watching the whole movie.
Yeah.
As I do with any movie. Like, I put a movie on, obviously, my goal is to watch it till the end.
Right.
But oftentimes, like, life gets in the way. That's right. I'm doing the life thing, and I can't proceed. I have to turn the movie off. So I've seen the whole movie probably 3 times, 4 times maybe. I've seen the first half hour to an hour probably, I don't know, 10 times, just because it's like, whatever. So I'm way more familiar with that.
It's probably the best stuff in the movie.
It goes on
way too long.
Yeah, the movie is interminable. And
it's
the
like
end
2 hours and 10
is ridiculous. It is like, what is going on? Like, where am I?
Right.
What's on her nipples? It is like
why?
I have no idea. She puts like lipstick on her nipples.
She beats it like a Michael Bolton type, shows up and like rapes and beats up her best friend. And she gets revenge by putting lipstick on her nipples and beating the shit out of him.
Right.
And then she gets in a pickup truck with the guy who stole her luggage at the beginning, and they start swerving him around the road, and the movie kind of ends on a weird laugh, but you're genuinely worried about their safety. It's like, I don't know what happens. Does she kill him? Does the car crash? But that rape scene, I mean, is so, it's like they hadn't yet fit in enough horrible ugliness.
Yeah.
And I know they think that that's what they're doing, that they're trying to be ugly, but like,
right.
They are, but they're going so far beyond that. I can't explain.
It's a weird thing, too. And I've talked about before about like how logic, and again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a logician. I am not a person who makes his living with numbers. No, but I do, like, I get annoyed when it's like, that would never happen. Like,
right.
When something happens on screen, I'm like, that would never happen.
Right.
And I'm willing to accept things to a certain extent, but I think a lot of people are lazy. A lot of screenwriters are lazy, and directors who accept that script are also lazy and then perpetuate that. When she gets raped, and I know I'm sure things like this have happened, but they're at this posh party in Las Vegas that is supposedly like all the stars and celebrities in Vegas, the stars of the show, the showgirls, the hotel owners, the PR people, all these people, and including that Michael Bolton douchebag guy that actually, and so the girl who can't throw a needle anymore, she goes up to his room because she's obsessed with this Michael Bolton guy. He rapes her. Actually, his whole gang rapes
her.
And I think that's where they came up with the term gang rape, right?
Oh, my gosh.
From this movie.
Showgirls contributes to popular culture.
So she's
also
raped.
Gang rape.
She stumbles out of the elevator into the middle of the party with, like, blood and fecal matter coming down her legs. We're supposed to just think that, like, why wouldn't, like, if, okay, so then the movie, I'm going to jump forward, like, 2 scenes where it turns out that the hotel wants to cover this up because you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That this guy's a big star and that like he might play our place next year or whatever.
Right.
But you're not that. Okay, that guy is an asshole and that guy's horrible. What about the girl who's a server who sees a girl that just got raped? Isn't she calling the police and like, excuse me?
They run a tight ship.
They do. You know what? I can't complain.
Everyone is on lockdown. No one says a word. That character, by the way, whose name I don't remember.
Robin Quivers, I think.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's basically who she is, right? Molly, is that right?
Yeah.
Could it be Molly?
Yeah.
Played by Gina Rivera. Her best friend. And the movie, by the way, is fascinating in the way that it knows nothing about how women relate to each other. The way that it depicts this best girlfriend relationship is so fucking fascinating.
Well, because as you said before, you touched upon it, it's a bunch of sleazy, really gross guys that like, yes, girls will get out of the shower and change in front of each other and then kiss because they're now best friends. By the way, their friendship predicated on, oh my God, that one scene where Nomi Malone lost her luggage, the car's gone, so she's like, fuck, 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 and she like bangs the other car. The girl's like, hey, my car. She grabs her. Nomi Malone pukes everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the puking.
Yeah, and then it's like, are you okay? First of all, even this most saintly woman would be like, you're a mess. Get out of my face. I'm driving away and calling the cops. But like, they become good friends, even though the next scene, she's still not doing anything to perpetuate the friendship. She's tossing the french fries around. It's just horrible.
I love the french fries.
I know, it's horrible.
But again, Molly, the character, like, is never anything but nice to every single person in the movie.
Right.
She's a helpful best friend. She works as like a costumer on the Topless Review. She's good to everyone, and her reward is being gang raped and beaten nearly to death.
But then our reward is that Nomi Malone kicks a guy's ass and then tells her like, "I kicked his ass."
But I just don't know what point are they trying to make with that. You know, it's not like Vegas corrupts the innocent, because she's not corrupted. She's just whatever.
No, she's absolutely just a sweet girl who like in fact is too nice to idiots. I think that's what... Oh, another quote. Here we go.
"I have a problem with pussy. I always have, and I always will."
Is that Kyle MacLachlan's character?
It is. Oh, no, that might be Glenn Plummer. I can't remember. Who plays the part of, like, he's sort of a wannabe dancer. Who the friends know me.
He plays the fairy that kind of comes in the scenes and flitters around. I can't.
And he does his weird avant-garde dance routine on stage at a nightclub. Another thing that would never happen.
Right.
Like, and they boo and they stop doing the dance. But like, why would they even have the opportunity? It doesn't make sense.
There's so much of that doesn't make sense. It kind of is saved by stuff that does make sense. Because if it doesn't make sense that he's going to have an avant-garde dancing in a nightclub, it does make sense that they'll boo it.
Right.
But like, they wouldn't boo something that was actually like put on professionally. Right. You know, so it's just the whole thing is just a...
His character almost like achieves... it's certainly not profound, but like at least you sort of get that arc that he's this guy who wants to make it as a dancer, and he kind of gets chewed up and spit out by this whole scene, and he ends up, his dreams are dashed, he's getting married to someone he probably doesn't love because she's pregnant, and you just see a sad life ahead for them, I think. That girl that he marries, by the way, is super cute.
Pretty.
So let's talk about what scenes you do watch over and over again.
Well, no, I, you know, in my 20s, in my late teens and 20s, I used to watch a couple scenes from Showgirls. But then there's also this fascination with, like, I would kind of get wrapped up in the movie and watch way longer than the scene I want to watch.
Like looking for that dude on She-Ra.
That's right.
That's always what happens. I'm looking for the dude. All of a sudden, I want to see where this She-Ra story goes, and I forget to look for the dude.
And then the dude is always in, like, a trash can. You can't even see. Like, that doesn't make sense. You're breaking the rules of your own freaking game. I was down the street
in the Taco Bell bathroom. Like, you never showed that.
What's he doing in the Taco Bell bathroom? Crinkle, crinkle. Maybe he's fucking a fish. But there's a couple scenes. The one scene where Jesse Spano strips for Kyle MacLachlan.
Right, the extended real-time lap dance scene.
Right, so Nomi Malone.
Yeah.
Strips for Kyle MacLachlan.
She fucks him without fucking him.
Everyone Got AIDS and Shit.
I'm pretty sure Everyone Got AIDS and Shit is on.
That's gotta be.
It is. It's number eight.
Number eight.
Because I'll tell you what. Everybody got AIDS and shit.
So the one scene, the preface to this is that Nomi had seen, her friend Molly works at the Showgirls place. At the legit theater place.
Right.
So Nomi's friend Molly works at the Stardust, which is no longer there, I don't think. I think it's gone.
Do you think it closed down because of Showgirls?
It had to. Because everyone got
hotel ashamed to show its face.
So she goes there, she meets the star Crystal Connors. Crystal Connors is a bitch to her, so she leaves angry. So she works at Cheetah's, which is like a sleazy strip club, and it is what it is. But these girls know what they're doing, at least. It's not like whoring at the place and pretending it's not whoring.
Yes.
By the way, I've just totally uncovered the curtain on suburbia. That being said, so she's at the strip club, and this Crystal Connors and her boyfriend, Kyle MacLachlan, who has a beautiful haircut, they show up.
It's kind of a swoop.
And they want a lap dance, and she hates Crystal Connors. She's like, no. And finally, her boss, played by one of the Fratelli brothers from the Goonies.
Robert Davi.
Who sings,
of the pockmarked face.
Was he better in this or the Goonies? I think he should combine the characters.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, nice. And then so she does a lap dance for like $500, which is a lot of money for a lap dance, let's be honest. Although, in this lap dance, if she gets fully naked, and I think the guy...
grinds the guy to completion.
To completion, thank you. So it's a full-length scene of a... And then the plumber dancer guy... I was going to say the black guy, but that makes me sound racist. Although he is like the only black guy in the movie. So.
Who isn't working security for someone.
Yes.
Or gang raping.
Yeah. Anyway, that scene, you know, it's probably the most graphic. She gets bottomless. Mm-hmm. It's probably the most graphic scene. It's you know, it actually is as sexy. This movie is not sexy.
It is so not sexy. And that's sort of where I was hoping you would go.
But this scene is the sexiest the movie gets. Yeah. It is clinical because it is like it's not sexy. So in that respect, it almost succeeds, but not in a way that they're trying to succeed at. Right. So,
and of course, its sort of counterpart, its bookend, mm-hmm. is another a full-on sex scene between same two characters, Naomi Malone and Kyle MacLachlan, in a swimming pool, where they have aggressive sex, where she has like a full body convulsion.
It is not. I don't know what it is. It's not sexy, to be sure. Right. It's not. I don't know what it is.
Well, again, it's Paul Verhoeven directing her to just go so far over the top and no longer resemble any Earthling.
It definitely is alien. If I was with a woman who was like that, I would have to be like, you stop. Like, right, are you like, let me put something in your mouth so you don't swallow your tongue.
Well, and it gets singled out again by a lot of people saying like, it's one of the least sexy sex scenes. And that's absolutely true. But at the same time, like, A, there's nothing sexy about the movie, as you just said. And B, everything in the movie that precedes that has clued us in to expect exactly that, yeah. Including the lap dance where she does the exact same crazy move.
Just in slower motion.
Flailing around on him.
Slightly slower motion.
But like, so it really shouldn't come as any surprise. It's a horrible scene. It's that more than anything may be what killed Elizabeth Berkeley's career, I think.
Yeah, you're going to say the whole movie,
fucking, like,
the whole movie obviously is a career killer, but that scene specifically, you can point to that and be like, if you could defend the movie, saying, you know what, just give the movie a chance, or like, I was younger, blah, 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 and you kind of like, okay, what about this one scene? We're going to really pinpoint this, and you'd be like, that's indefensible. Like,
right,
I cannot.
Right.
There's such horrible, at one point he comes through a waterfall like Frankenstein. It's just so weird.
And it starts like normal enough. I mean, it's bad, but it's like they're naked in a pool, and it's like it's every other sex scene, and it goes to this place, and it's just like,
yeah, it definitely is. It's so odd. So, finish you're going to say the DVDs. Did we finish that? Because you had bought, it wasn't just you bought my copy, you bought a Laserdisc for yourself.
Yeah.
You
and bought then a later copy. I bought a copy of it on DVD for myself also.
So, how many times, including the Blu-ray you're going to buy?
The Blu-ray would be four. If you count going to see it in the theater, that would be five.
So, that's five times you've given money to.
Yeah. One of the times it was your money, though.
Did it also kill
all sexed up.
United Artists?
No, I mean, United Artists has kind of been dead since Heaven's Gate, but I mean, it still exists. And they've.
It does?
Yeah. I mean, and they've released. Tom Cruise bought United Artists a couple of years ago, as evidenced in Lions for Lambs, the first movie that came out under the Tom Cruise United Artists label.
I saw that movie.
But MGM is just a fucking disaster right now, so they can't get a Bond movie off the ground, and now they can't get The Hobbit off the ground.
I do love, too, I've got Dish Network, and I've got MGM Movie Channel.
Yeah.
And there's never anything on it that I want to watch. No. It's like, it's a shame, because I'm thinking, this is a whole studio that puts out movies as their job, and I want to watch something.
Put out one or two that I want to see.
And granted, I know I have weird tastes sometimes, but it's like, I don't think it should be too hard to find something on the MGM network to watch. And they did have the James Bond marathon this weekend, though.
Here's some more classic lines from Showgirls from Joe Esterhaus, who got paid, I don't know if this was his record paycheck. That might have been Jade, which came out like a year before, a year earlier? I don't remember. Basic Instinct is the one that really sort of made his career.
I gotta think it's this, because this, how do you do anything after this?
Right, yeah.
And it's all leading to this, because Jade wasn't bigger than Showgirls. It definitely, who was in that, Linda Fiorentino?
Yeah, and David Caruso. The big story there is that that's the movie that David Caruso quit.
Isn't that
the movie?
NYPD
Blue. NYPD
Blue.
Or maybe that was Kiss of Death. I don't know. All right, here's some more lines from Showgirls. Thrust it. Come on, thrust it.
Who's that guy, by the way? That actor.
He shows up in a lot. He's like a redheaded choreographer. He shows up in a lot of stuff. I don't know. All the dancing is hilarious. It's just so over the top.
I love to.
Everything is so over the top.
Shadi was walking in and out as I was rewatching this the other day, and she would like catch, of course, the best scenes, and like it'd just be a scene where Naomi Malone is watching a dance happen, and she's doing the moves with
it. She's just kind of marking it.
Yeah, and it's so like, and I know dancers, and I know that marking is something that people really do, but like, it just is so like, I don't know. I mean, I know dancers. I've seen Center Stage. I own Center Stage, okay? So,
please. Whatever you're dancing, you just feel it.
Is the line on there too? Oh, go on. I'll okay. This line. I don't
Here's
on.
Some more.
Is the Japanese businessman line on there?
I don't think so.
Oh. By the way, that scene, if I may paint a picture, they're at the strip club, and the staff from the Stardust with Crystal Connors goes to the Cheetah to watch Nomiwon strip, and they also
talent scouts.
They bring some Japanese tourists or what businessmen with them, and they say something, and the guy from Bug Planet laughs, and Kyle MacLachlan goes, "Hey, what'd they say?" By the way, which. You don't even notice until your eighth viewing that's like actually like what that's the line because you just are so quickly beyond it. But then of course he responds, "In America, everyone's a gynecologist."
Oh my god!
Which is just like
I guess the movie is so in love with its own like sleazy dialogue.
Yeah.
And Joe Esterhaus, just thinks everything is a fucking gem. Every one of these lines they just sound so written, and he's so impressed with himself.
Right.
Not thrust it. Come on, thrust it. But here's one. God damn it, you're the only one who can get my tits popping right.
By the way, that's said from the madam to Nomi Malone. It's not even like a sexual line, really.
Right, but it's like, oh, I'm sad you're leaving. I'm the fat vaudeville lady
right.
whose boobs come out. And you're the only one
that thrust it, I know this is going to sound like a really nitpicky thing, but like he's slapping her butt as she's laying on her back, thrusting her pelvis in the air.
Right.
And she's thrusting it farther than anyone else.
Yeah, she could not possibly thrust more.
I don't know.
Here's the thing about Elizabeth Berkley. No matter what anyone else is doing in the movie, she's doing it harder.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what it is. She outdoes everyone in this movie or any other movie you've ever seen. Yes.
What was her musical group in Saved by the Bell?
Hot Sunday?
Hot Sunday, yeah. What's the song they sing?
Put your mind to it, go for it. You got to break and sweat.
That's right. I want to somehow meld those two.
possibly my favorite line, I'm a dancer.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like that should be the tagline to the movie.
You can fuck me when you love me.
That's also very good.
I'm erect, why aren't you erect?
Said by, what's his name now? Because there's a lot of like weird character actors that just kind of appear in this thing.
He's like rubbing ice on her boobs and I don't know who that guy is, but man, everybody got AIDS and shit, there's one. You got more natural talent when you dance than anybody I've ever seen.
Which, by the way, taken on the surface, that line actually sounds like a sincere...
Right, no, it's only funny when you see the movie.
Yeah, and you watch and, you, and you, it just comes after she just dances like a monster. Right. And then he says that to her. I mean,
she dances like a monster. Hey, you just got $500 off a lap dance. You act like somebody died. First I get you used to the money, then I make you swallow.
That one, you know what?
There's the line Joe Esterhaus was so pleased with.
Yeah. There's like five lines in it that are ridiculous. This movie also contains one of my favorite shots in any movie, but I think Showgirls really captured it the best. It's the shot where she is so at her kind of wit's end. She is defeated. She is dejected. She doesn't know where to turn. So she's on a car. It can't be her car, right?
Is she at her wit's end or is that when she's on top of the world?
Oh, is that what
Isn't
it
there
is?
Like a top of the world, like sitting on the hood of her car?
That's what I'm thinking of. Is it top of the world or is it like...
I thought it was top of the world.
You might be right.
Is it possible that I completely misread Showgirls?
I think you're actually right. I just probably didn't really watch that scene. But I remember this from way back when.
Yeah.
She's on the hood of some car and like the top of a parking garage because there's really there's no bluff over Vegas that looks over like the strip. And then she watches the strip and all the lights and stuff and she's and I just think the shot is so like... I know that they're thinking like, man, we just covered so much. We explained so much without a line of dialogue. And it's just like, wow, that is so cheap.
The rest of the lines aren't that good. If they come, it's okay. If he takes it out, comes all over you, call a bouncer. Unless he gives you a big tip. If he gives you a big tip, it's okay. Got that.
But the way he says that too is so great. It's like, if he comes, it's okay. If he takes it out, comes all over you. And he's like, if he gives you a big tip, it's okay.
They want class, dum-dum. They don't want to fuck a Penny. They want to fuck
like a Heather, which makes absolutely no sense. if it was a Will Ferrell movie, he would say, well, that makes no sense.
You're not just a pain in my head and a pain in my dick. You're a pain in my ass. I didn't get that. I want my nipples to press, but I don't want them to look like they're levitating.
I want my nipples to press, but I don't want them to look like they're levitating.
the girls backstage, too. You get to know a lot of the fun characters. There's the sassy, mean-spirited black girl. And by the way, when I say sassy, it's just every one of her lines is like, fuck you, get those fucking kids out
of
here.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's nothing sassy about her. She is like the angriest.
Where she falls and like breaks her leg is hilarious.
And then there's the girl who is her enemy, who brings her kids into the back right. room, and it's all these naked things, and these kids are horrible.
And again, Paul Verhoeven, who's apparently never met children, they're like, they have like their hair combed over, and the girl's holding a teddy bear. Yeah. I mean, you expect the guy, the boy, just to be like licking a giant lollipop. And, like, that's, this is what kids do, yes?
That's what they do in Holland, apparently.
They wear wooden shoes. There's a whole, like a lesbian sort of undercurrent between Nomi and Crystal Connors.
Which climaxes in them kissing, and it's just so anticlimactic. And it's...
But I will say, like, I guess in 1995, we didn't see that as much.
Now it's every episode of anything on MTV.
Right, not that Showgirls is, like, ahead of its time, but I'm saying Showgirls is way ahead of its time.
I think that you're saying Showgirls is the best movie of 1995.
It's pretty good.
I still like it. I know you're saying you're qualifying your like of it. You're
by saying I don't like it.
No, you're qualifying it. I want to. You know, I'm going to call you out right now.
Okay.
You're qualifying. You're saying like Showgirls is enjoyable and interesting and watchable, but it's I don't like it.
Right.
And I'm saying like, but that makes you like it, but not. You don't have to like it for the reasons that they want you to like it.
No, I agree with that. But I'm just saying I don't think I would ever watch it unless I were recording a podcast about it. You know what I mean? Like, I never am like, I want to watch Showgirls. Even movies that I don't like that much, I tend to put on every once in a while.
No, I think that that's a good explanation. I think that covers a lot for a lot of things. Like, for me especially, like, I remember, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I know when I first got a job after college, and I have a paycheck, and I have money to spend on stuff. I bought everything
right.
I could possibly buy on DVD. So back in 2000, it was like I didn't make much, but I lived at home for a year. But I spent all my money on DVDs. And there's stuff I bought that's you know, quote, good stuff that I can't bring myself to watch. The example I use all the time is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. A fine movie. I enjoyed it in the theater. I bought it. I don't think I've ever even opened it. So I get that. I understand that what you're saying about that you'll never want to watch this, but I still argue that this movie is ridiculous and silly and completely, it misfires, not even backfires, just misfires on all counts.
Yeah.
The performances are horrible, but so much of its ugliness and what makes it so bad is what makes it so insanely, like, if it's on TV, even on basic cable, and they're going to, like, cut out the nudity and the swears and stuff, I will, like, probably watch it for easily 10 minutes longer than I would watch anything else.
Okay.
Let us leave it on. So I think that being said, like, I know we've talked about this before, and I think that there was a time, I think, also that you would have probably put it on just to watch.
Maybe.
So, I mean, now you're, like, obviously married with a kid, and you're doing the husband thing.
It's not like, oh, the sexuality offends me, or whatever. I know that. Like, it's certainly...
I think you're bored by it, if
anything. Yeah, I mean, it is certainly a special and unique movie, because it is bad in ways that few other movies are.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not Waterworld, which is a movie I don't like, but that I always feel compelled to watch.
What else? Give me some other examples.
I can't think of that many right now. Can't Hardly Wait. I end up watching more than I should. And I don't really like that movie. I didn't even like that movie in 1998. I wanted to like that movie. I didn't really. I'm sure there's a bunch. But yeah. Showgirls, not really one of them.
Avatar.
And thank God Paul Verhoeven went back and did Starship Troopers 2 years later.
I'm surprised. I mean, in all seriousness, maybe because Starship Troopers is on paper so different from Showgirls, and obviously he's foreign, and maybe he has a different reputation or whatever, but, like, I'm surprised he was able to make another movie after this, honestly.
Yeah.
But Starship Troopers kind of saved him. I mean, I don't know if he's... I don't know, like, you probably know what he's made recently, aside from Hollow Man, but...
Black Book is the only other thing he made, which is, like, a sort of a historical war epic, I think. He hasn't gone back to the sci-fi well or the erotic thriller well. But, like, honestly, I'm sure if you watch Showgirls and Starship Troopers back-to-back, there are probably a lot of similarities, like... If they added giant bugs to Showgirls, it would probably start to look a lot like Starship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are things that are probably...
They're both very gaudy, bright, like, loud movies.
Yeah, and the tone is sort of similar. But again, one is intentional comedy satire, and one is supposed to be this serious thing. And again, you know, the movie has been repurposed subsequently, and now they show midnight showings of it, and people come in costume, and it's all hilarious. And that's fine, because that's... What else can you do with this movie? Look at a movie like Striptease, which was the other big stripper movie that came out probably a year later. And
starring, like, way more legit people.
Right.
I mean, I don't know who directed that, but anyone. I think it's Burt Reynolds and Demi Moore.
Andrew Bergman, but I might be wrong. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Demi Moore was the biggest female movie star at the time, and the fact that she was doing striptease was such a huge deal. And that
she ruined her chest, by the way. Did you ever see About Last Night? It's like she is so cute and so great and so just adorable, and then she comes out with these huge fake boobs. Right. And you know, granted, in 2010, she actually still looks okay. Like I've seen pictures of her.
She doesn't look like herself, though.
No,
she. If you held up like a picture of her next to a picture of her in One Crazy Summer, like that's not the same person.
Right.
But striptease's big sin is that it's just fucking ordinary and forgettable. It's just bad in that way. And Showgirls, you can't say is ordinary or forgettable.
Yeah, no.
Anything else you want to say about Showgirls?
Showgirls is great. Starship Troopers is great. I love movies. I love fthismoviepodcast.org.
Wait, podcast? fthismovie.blogspot.com.
I do love that also.
fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you have a favorite line in Showgirls that we left out, please submit it. We'll read it on a future installment. When we do the Paul Verhoeven retrospective. Starting with Flesh and Blood, a crazy movie with Rutger Hauer and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I've never seen that.
It's terrible.
I feel like this is a good place to stop the podcast, obviously, but I mean, we could do it right now. Please stop it. Oh, we're just over an hour. Okay. Yeah. I feel like we could talk about this movie endlessly because...
For sure.
As we do right now, there's scenes you could pull out and just talk about, like, you believe this one
scene? I'm so glad I remember to bring up the monkeys, because that was really the moment where I was like, this is what they think show business is?
Even, like
it's again, a guy with monkeys?
I've been to Vegas twice. I've never really experienced a debaucherous side of Vegas. I've never been to, like, Cheetahs. I've been to a couple shows. I've been to some bars. I know you could take from it what you want, but it's like, if this does exist out there, and again, I fully admit I am not a sleazeball. It just is like, they are... Paul Verhoeven and Paul and Joe Esterhaus just doing their research, and this is what they come up with. And it's like, well, I guess that's something. Like, you definitely came up with something that hasn't been seen before.
Needless to say, it did not legitimize NC-17.
What else has been NC-17?
Crash, the David Cronenberg
movie
where James Spader fucks Rosanna Arquette's leg wound. I just want to find a way to work that into every single F this movie.
Oh, you worked on the last one a lot.
I know. That's maybe what this movie needed. It was like more
leg wound fucking.
Yeah, when that black chick like falls and breaks her legs, somebody just should have fucking got down and undid their pants, just started banging her in the leg.
How about also, it's insulting to gay people too. There's a couple of gay dancers just like so like this, I mean, the nth degree of, I've heard some complaints about Sex and the City too, about the gay characters, how it does nothing for the movement.
Right.
And this is just like, and I realize this movie is not about that, but obviously Sex and the City 2 should be about that if that's what they're really fashion.
Since that's, you know, part of who they're appealing to.
Right. But this is beyond, it's beyond all. I can't even, I guess I'm speechless, honestly. And this is, Patrick pointed out to me that in talking about Showgirls, we might have so much to say that we don't have enough to say about it because you kind of get to a point where you just like almost feel like you're repeating yourself. And that's where we're probably coming to right now. So you should definitely watch it. It's on Blu-ray now, so...
It's not... Yeah, it's about to come out on Blu-ray.
You should pre-order it on Blu-ray.
Definitely, because it needs to be seen in full HD. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go home now and not watch certain scenes of Showgirls.
And until next time...
F this movie!